Talk Shoe. Recorded live.
Welcome, gentlemen, to another episode of... What is this? What is this called again? I figure I started off with a joke. The Merry Man's Club, Talk Shoe Live. The topic for tonight, married, living single lives. Ground rules, no profanity. We're going to be respectful of other people's views. And I guess that's it. I wanted to start this off with a personal note, a personal story of mine. When I, my previous marriage, actually my first marriage, and I had a married living single episode. Is that somebody's kid in the background? Okay, well, anyway. When I realized that the marriage was done, on its way out, I started to do things differently. And you know when it's gone, when you've had the discussion with your wife, okay, it's over with, we need to move on, we need to make arrangements, talk to attorneys, whatever the case may be. I was at that point. And I had this extra bedroom in my house that I would use as a closet. You know, I saw that movie Waiting to Exhale and how my man had that closet with all those clothes in there, and I was like, man, I got to have that. So anyway, I had this room with clothes and stuff in it, and once we had the discussion that it was over, I moved into that room. Okay. A friend of mine traded me some bunk beds that I had for a California King. So when I took the California King, I put it in that room. The room wasn't really that big, but the California King took up the whole room. Okay, but anyway, so that's where I lived. And I would come in, you know, and wasn't too cordial because we didn't have a lot to talk about. I was waiting for her to leave, but we still had kids at the time. So I would, you know, hang out, come in the wee hours of the morning, started dating somebody else, and I would just buck wild, you know. But what I didn't realize through all of that is I was still legally married. You know what I mean? But in my mind, I was single, or I was on my way to being single, so it was okay. I justified it to myself that, okay, we're getting a divorce, so I can go out and do my thing. And then my ex-wife said to me one day, she just pulled me to the side, and she was like, I understand what you're doing, but how do you think it looks to our children? And my response to her was, I've already had the conversation with them. They know we're getting ready to split, so let me do my thing and you stay out of my way.
Whoa.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, I mean, I was buck wild with it, coming in right when it's time to take a shower and get ready to go to work. That's when I was coming home. And it was like four nights a week. You know what I mean? So, but that was my married... Go ahead. I'm sorry.
The life.
Hmm?
You were living the life.
Living the life. Clubbing. Partying, hanging, no ring on the finger, doing it all, taking weekend trips. Because in my mind, like I said, the marriage was over. But legally, on paper, I was still married. I wasn't even legally separated at the time. You know what I mean? But, again, I gave myself an excuse that it was over, so let me live this life. You know, but, you know, they say about hindsight is 20/20. I look back now and maybe I should have waited, you know, waited till at least the ink was dry before I went buck wild. But from what we know, there's people that aren't even in that situation, that aren't talking about divorce or haven't had a conversation with their wives of anything, and or men or women, and the people are living a single life while being married. Can anybody kind of feel what I'm saying here in reference to being married but living another life, like a single life?
I can relate to that. My first marriage was like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she was married and I wasn't. I mean, you hit a point, well, I shouldn't say you, I hit a point where I just stopped respecting her. And
yeah.
Anything went then.
Yeah.
I didn't even bring my girlfriend. I had my girlfriend over one night, and my wife came walking out the bedroom, and I got to clean this up. I said, you know, you need to take you know what back in the bedroom. I didn't tell you to come out here. I had my girl on the couch.
Wow, while they were both in the house.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What gets us to that point, though? What gets us to that point? I mean, is it a point of just being fed up when you get to that point, when you just don't care, no respect, just take them for bad?
That's where I was. I was like, I don't care. You know, I'm doing me. That's terrible, but, I mean, that's where I was at.
I mean, you know, we're different people now, so we look back on it differently.
Yeah.
You know.
Is it something that you just didn't want to change? I mean, you just wanted to, you were younger, so you wanted to keep that, you wanted to be married, however, you wanted to still do your thing. You wanted to go out and have fun.
You know, for me, marriage was just a piece of paper, and she bugged me so bad into it, and I said, fine. So I was never married. I mean, it was just, I went through the motions for her, and I didn't know what marriage was, you know, and that's how it was for me. And I mean, if anybody ever been with somebody that really, whatever you say, you know, they go along with, they don't have any opinion, they just, you know, and for me, it got to the point where I just stopped respecting her. And once that happens, I mean, anything can go then.
Yeah, and you and I are a lot alike because I did it because we had children. And this was, you know, a college sweetheart. So, you know, you grow apart after all those years. But, you know, when you're really mentally not into a marriage and you're physically somewhere else night after night, you know, it comes to a point where, okay, what am I doing? You know, I was the kind of person, I didn't like not sleeping over. You know what I mean? I didn't want to go to another girl's house and be like, I got a roll. I wanted to stay.
Well,
so I was like, I can't be married in this situation and roll like that. Because certain things that I wanted to happen in my marriage just weren't happening. And after years and years and years of fighting and arguing and bickering about it, they just never happened. So then you start to say, did I grab the right person? Am I married to the right person or not? You know, again, it's very difficult thing to do when you're in a relationship and you don't want to be in it mentally, you know. So I definitely agree with Andrew. Anybody else on that?
Well, I kind of think along the line that you know, marriage is normally, you know, a commitment.
Sure.
Anytime they break, you know, that commitment and go outside of what normalcy is supposed to be, I believe in my mind that they abandon the marriage, man. And what happens is it causes your mindset to change about marriage. I found that to be true. You know myself, that you can be in a marriage, but abandoned in the marriage just the same, especially when they're not respectful of the marriage in general.
Wow, good words.
I mean,
is it possible to become like a prisoner of the marriage?
That's what I'm trying to say. That's what it was. It was a prisoner because normally, I mean, at the time my feelings were involved in. And I was, you know, and one thing I took marriage as an institution. You know, what I mean, it was serious to me. It wasn't nothing. It wasn't something to be played with. And then when you start playing a game with your mind, and then the games that come along with it after it all sets itself in place. And then what happens is it causes you not to trust because you've heard so much. Well, we're gonna try. We're gonna do this. We're gonna do that. And then in the same. It doesn't, you know, then all of a sudden he wishy-washy and say, well, I don't know, after he said the odds, I don't know. And then after a while, man, it causes you to become numb. And when it causes you to become numb, then you distance yourself from the relationship, and that's when you can stray. and go out and do a lot of things outside of what you would call normalcy, because it was serious to you. But when you want to make it a game, then I can take you there too.
Yeah. I got to the point where I felt as though that was the best that I could do. You know, and you talk about being a prisoner. I definitely was that. But I had to set myself free, you know, a few nights a week. But anyway, but I definitely felt like a prisoner because I started to believe. I said, I'm in this marriage and I'm not happy. She's not happy. We have these children that are experiencing this madness. You know, I want to be single again. I don't want to be in this, you know. But until we make some permanent arrangements, mentally I had to put myself in a single mode to do certain things, and I justified it. You know what I'm saying? But the bad part about it was I actually thought that there was nothing else for me in the way of a quality relationship. So I know what you mean about being a prisoner in that situation.
Well, I mean, in my case, this is my first marriage. In my case, man, it had gotten so bad after I've placed so much time in trying to make something work that I didn't understand why it wasn't working. And what it did was it caused me to turn into somebody that I wasn't, you know, or maybe it was already in me. Because when she started acting stupid, I started doing what Andrew did, you know. I mean, she would sleep in her room and I'd be humping somebody upstairs, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I didn't really care. So I turned into somebody totally, totally opposite. And when I did get out of the marriage, you know, there was a lot of hate for a long time, man. I mean, to the point where, you know, she was saying negative things to my daughter. She was saying all kinds of negative things about me, but I would never speak ill of her, you know, to my daughter. And I never gave there was a foothold on that. But, yeah, it had gotten crazy for a long time, man. And one day my daughter called me and told me that that her stepfather was her dad. It was no need for me to call her no more because, you know, all kinds of nonsense, man, that I dealt with, okay? And on the real side, you know? And I said, yeah. I said, well, all I can say, man, my response to her was, all I can say to you is that, you know, there's a lot of things that's gone on, and it's going to come a time that you're going to understand for yourself. I'm not going to be the one to bring it, you know, to bring it to light because I don't believe this is the time or the place. I said, you will see it for yourself. And then, you know, a little while later, she started to understand. And when she understood, then she knew, and then she took it to a whole different level. Now we have the greatest of relationship, you know.
Good words.
So that, you know, living the single life, even though you're married, it affects more than just you and the wife. It affects the kids also, huh?
Absolutely.
Where the negativity is more against whoever's doing the single, trying to be single, than it is against the person that is trying to keep the marriage together. How does that work? I mean, is it because of the other person, because they're at home, they're probably saying things that make it worse, or... How do you think it ended up happening that way, where your own daughter would say, I'm rolling with the stepdad instead of rolling with you?
That
put me down on the floor right there.
Well, it happened like that because when I was trying to make phone calls, get in contact with her, she would change numbers. She wouldn't let me talk to her. She did everything in her power to keep her from me. She told her all kinds of ill, you know, untrue things. So what I did was, you know, I played a game. So what I did was I went to court, and I had to serve. And when I had to serve, and we went to court, and I was given visitation rights, and she was still hiding my daughter from me and would not allow me to see my daughter. But the court told me I can take the police to her house and get her any time that I wanted. But, see, I didn't want to bring my daughter into that type of situation that she would be affected by it for life. So I kind of took the hit on that, you know what I mean? By trying to keep her from going through all kinds of other mental issues because of our nonsense, you know what I mean? So yeah, it got a lot out of hand. So my being distant from that situation caused her to believe that I wasn't interested in being with her in a relationship as mother, like father and daughter.
And I think that Go ahead.
That was what is pushing you away first.
Hey, break it up. I can't hear him.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What, didn't the ex-wife realize that that was why you were being pushed away in the first place? Because of her attitude? She never figured that out?
Well, absolutely she figured it out, man. But what you have to realize is that women go through kind of, you know, issues in their mind. And they deal with things internally. You know, we deal with ourselves externally. We go out, we do different things. They deal with things internally. They hold it in for a long period of time, whatever it is that's bothering them. And then what they do is they react to those things after it builds up so much that they numb themselves, man, to what's going on. So the only thing they can see is their situation.
Wow.
It's not about you anymore.
Well, you know, a lot of times in those situations, you know, the spouse uses that as a payback to you.
Absolutely. That's what it was, too.
Get back.
And you hit a point that they can no longer do something to you to hurt you because you're like, I don't care. And they figure the only way they can hurt you is to hurt the one thing that you know will hurt you, and they start hurting the kids to hurt you.
Yeah. And now all the stuff that she did to do that backfired in her face, and now my daughter's rebelling against her. She calls me because she's acting out against her, calling her all kinds of bees and MFs fighting her and all this nonsense, but she's calling me. But what's happened is that her keep hiding her from me and not allowing me to see her kind of backfired in her face now, you know. And she has a different respect for me. And the funny part about it was I was over her house yesterday with my daughter for her 21st birthday, you know, and her husband, you know, but it's all good because those kind of things will come back and haunt you when you do wrong to people. And she really tried to do everything in the world to hurt me because of her own inconsistency. But yet the same, hiding my daughter from me wasn't it. So all I did was wait it out, man. So I was going all kinds of crazy stuff, creeping out, and my ex-wife's sister passed away. She stole the keys out the house, took her boyfriend over her sister's house after she had passed away, over there humping dude in her place. Her daughter walked in, all kinds of nonsense, you know what I mean? But when you do ill stuff, man, and it come back to you, and it'll haunt you in such a way, you don't even know how to respond anymore.
And they don't know how to respond either.
Absolutely.
Because that's when they start doing these uncharacteristic things.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? And they're mad at you, but they're figuring other ways to take the anger out by doing just exactly what you just said. They kind of get reckless.
That's it. And that's what happened. Now my daughter's all out of control and wild, and, you know, but now she's reeling it in, you know, because I've had those kind of conversations. But when I talk to her on a level of understanding, man. I don't talk to her with chastisements, you know what I mean? I talk to her like she, okay, you grown. I'm going to talk to you like you grown. I'm going to explain some things to you that you need to know. I'm going to explain, and the harder and the most difficult part was in our conversations was is that the fact that the conversations we have are things that she didn't know about herself because she wasn't around me. What you have to realize is there's a part of me and you, and those things that you're dealing with are the things that your mother sees in you that she didn't like about me.
Mm.
And those things that you don't know about me because you weren't around me, and you wonder why she's acting the way she does, the way she does towards you.
Wow.
So I had a me conversation about me, things that you know, things that I deal with, things about me that are in her, and then she started to understand.
You know, one of the sad things, because I've seen this in my ex that has, you know, it's like when people, you know, when people get hurt, this is how they lash back out. And, you know, well, I shouldn't say that. But, I mean, if they don't move to a point of forgiveness, this is what happens, and they get bitter.
Absolutely.
And, you know, they just, it just spews out at everybody.
And the only thing she could see was the dirt that I was doing towards her after she started acting like a fool. Because I cut up. I act like a pure Negro, okay? Excuse my expression, but I did. I was out there hitting anything moving. And I didn't. And one thing about me, I didn't hide the fact of it either. You know, you want to go there, you want to act like a fool, I'm going to treat you, I'm going to show you how fools can act. But I was just, I was wrong. Like you said, you look back on it today, and you say, oh, that was foul, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But at the time, you weren't thinking about foul. You were thinking about living in that prison within your own self and in your own mind because your wife is withholding herself from you. She acts like she don't want to be with you. All this negativity, and you don't have time for it, man. You want to move on and enjoy the things of life. That's what I did.
Yeah, you get to a point where you just don't care.
That's it. I didn't care. And I didn't care.
And, you know, I mean, you just hit a point, and like I said, for me, she was still in the house. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, we were separated. It wasn't. I got to a point where I was like, hey, I'm done. I don't care. You want to stay here? That's fine. But, you know, hey, you know, that's my girlfriend. Leave me alone.
Wow. You know, let me throw a question out there. As married men, I'm assuming they're all married men on the line, do we get those single moments mentally?
No, that's right.
You know what I'm saying? Those single moments. I mean, it could be anywhere. It could be at Walmart. You feel, you know, you see something, you're like, you know, I'm feeling single. That trip away from the house or whatever the case may be, I don't know, maybe you guys know, but I'm pretty sure that, you know, it's normal because we spent so much of our lives single and now we're in another situation. But sometimes you look back and say, I'm having a single moment. You know, somebody look at you. A woman look at you. And, you know, you might have a single moment.
I don't think too many guys would admit to that on the phone, thinking their wife was going to hear that, right? But I have. I'm going to be honest with you, man. It's been many times I've been in the store or seen something that looked good, and I just wanted to say, damn, I wouldn't mind hollering that. But then you look back and you say, hey, you know what? I'm married. Man, I can't do that. Was back then, you know?
you got to remind yourself. You got to look down at your hand and be like, oh, my bad.
That's what I'm saying.
Honest, you know, you're always going to say something. You're always going to see something and go, damn. You know,
damn,
I don't think I can say that. I mean, darn.
It's all good.
You know, but when you've been down that road, now I know most of y'all haven't chased, but being a brother that has chased that, okay, that darn, that thing looks good, and chased it, you know, at the end of the road, it's not worth it.
No, sir.
So now I look at it, and of course you see that, and you go, darn, that looks good.
And that's where it ends, right? No single moment at all. That's where it is. You keep it moving.
And you're like, okay, and? You
know. So where does 80-20 rule roll up into married but single? You know? You got 80 at home, 20. You see in this thing you saw at the grocery store.
You know, that's just eye candy. And you know the important things, you know, aren't, you know, what all that what you see, because you know, once you get with it, it ain't gonna be all that anyway.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
And like I always say, sin is only good for a season. It'll thrill you, then it'll kill you.
And it will kill you, especially when you got to go back home and deal with that.
You know that.
Yeah, okay.
When I mean, out there, you know, somebody's with Halle Berry looking at something else going, dang, darn.
Oh, you know that's right.
Yeah, I mean, there was a point in my life where sneaking in the bed was nothing to me. Sneaking back in the bed. You know, when you out doing dirt, you got to come back home. And at a certain point, you got to sneak in that bed, try not to wake your wife.
Yeah.
There was nothing. For me, there was no nothing for that. I was, you know, straight. I knew where to wash up. I knew all of that. I had it all down packed. You know what I mean? But that was before I got saved. After that, that's not even an option.
You got to deal with
it. You see what I'm saying? Because I actually have more to deal with than my wife.
You know,
if I just had to deal with my wife, I might be all right with it. But there's a greater power that I got to deal with now that I understand. There's no more sneaking back in bed. There's no more nothing. You just you figure out how to fix that problem. You know, but like I said before, going to the adult places, you know, that's one of the places where we go and have single moments. Because you don't dare tell one of them girls on your lap that you married. Some people do, but most people just play it off, you know, and keep it moving. So that's a single moment. I think sometimes at the workplace, some of us have single moments. I mean, I could be wrong, but, you know, I know we have them, you know. But is that wrong to have a single moment as a man?
I think, if you're not saved, then, hey, I think it's wrong, even for somebody who is saved, you know, to have those single moments. But, you know, your eyes sometimes, that devil is always in front of you, so your eyes will see it because you're a visual person anyway. I think where the problem comes in is those guys who, even though they understand they may not cheat, but they'll flirt. And I think being flirtatious is what gets the first step of that single life. That's when you start saying, oh, yeah, I can, by me just flirting, I can get this if I want to. I think that's what's end up getting people in trouble.
You got that right. You got that right. Say that again.
You just touched on something, brother. You just touched on something, whether you knew it or not. And it's kind of where I was going. As a man, and when we start getting older and we no longer have a six-pack, we got a keg, we no longer have a full head of hair, we're trying to piece together what we got up top, do we still feel the need to see if we still got it?
I think that's normal. Come on, man.
It's normal, but how far will you go to see if you still got it?
Depends if you know, what you know.
Okay.
I mean, who doesn't feel good when somebody of the opposite sex pays attention to you? That's normal. That feels good. If somebody says it doesn't, they're lying or crazy or dumb.
Okay. But okay.
Well, I think you have to be old, because for some folks, just having the ring on is like a chick magnet.
That's it, right?
Okay, understood. See, for me, it's dangerous only because growing up in New York, we had to go. If you saw a woman on the street that you liked, you were taught to go get that. It wasn't no let her get by, you know what I mean? Because your boys be like, how you let that one get by? You see what I'm saying? So you were taught to have rap game instantaneously. You see it, you go get it, you drop your best line, try to get that number, whatever the case may be. So for me,
they call you all kind of things if you didn't come out at it.
Yeah. If you fail, so what? But at least you went at it. You see what I'm saying? You definitely got an A for effort if you went at it, you know, where I'm from. But for me now, to see if I still got it, I would have to see if that rap game is still strong. And that puts me in a bad situation. So for me, it wouldn't just be enough for a woman to be checking me out in the store. That wouldn't do it for me. I'd have to see if I can pull.
But to do that, you got to pursue. You know, I mean, it's in the male gene that we're predators, right?
Yeah.
No way.
So if we're predators, it's in our nature, because we're visual people, to go seek and try to get that number.
Yeah.
That's just how we were built. I don't even think it deals with where you come from. I just think that's where all men are built. In some type of way. Even if you grew up a nerd, you're still built at some point in your life to seek women. And because of that, it always is there. I mean, it's in the back of your mind. It never leaves. You know, Yeah, you've been to the family reunions with the dirty old uncle?
Mm-hmm. Still trying.
You got the nasty, you know, is always talking nasty, and you got to say, hey, man, that's your cousin.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing he says is what? Hey, what, how far down the line?
I tell you one thing, if I was anything like I used to be, man, I would be definitely in trouble, okay? I do air conditioning heating, man. So 90% of my customers are women, single women, good looking women, you name it. And they all try to give you conversation, man, and I have to every day check myself and walk out their door and say I'm happy. matter of fact, when Andrew called me, I just walked out one of their houses, okay? Unbelievable, man. I had to shake my head four times, man. And then they say, Brian, if you were anything like you used to be, I would not be going home.
Yeah. You got to brush that off. You got to brush that off.
But that brings up a good point, though. Is it harder for a married man?
No doubt.
You know, the funny thing is, you know, when you're single, you can't buy a piece. You get
mad,
they be like, yeah.
Because if you're single, you know, you're trying to add another notch to your belt, to your wall, Hall of Fame. But
I mean, you're married. You're single.
You know, it's a different thing. I mean, you have to kind of put a blockage on your mind. You have to put like a steel wall up with barbed wire up there.
Say that
on the back of your mind and say, hey, you married.
But you know, you got to realize, you hit a point where you realize what's important. You know, and then you think about what you have. And if you have something good, you know, at least I do, I think, you know, but my wife's got everything she's got.
Mm-hmm.
And she's got a heart that's incredible. So that's what she's, you know, that and knowing God, you know, I don't know about y'all, but I was one step from hell. And he gave me another shot. And I was scared to death to cross that line again. See, unlike you guys have been walking that walk. I was out there. And he didn't owe me another shot and gave me one. I'm scared he might zap me.
No, that's right.
And I'm just telling you the truth.
I'm with you there, brother.
You know, I know some of y'all, you know, you were born saved and walked the walk and all that kind of stuff. You're talking to a gunslinger. To a dude that was a heavy hitter for Satan's team. And God gave me another shot. And I'm scared to death. You know, if I step wrong, I mean, my wife would be the least of my problems.
Amen.
But something that Tom said, is it hereditary? We're born into sin. We're born into this world in sin, right? And if you're born into a family where you see it, we already know when we see it from the home, you know, your father, your stepfather, your uncle,
your grandfather.
Yeah. If you see it, you know, it's almost like it's in your gene pool, and then when you go to school, you try to reenact what you see. And then you just continue to build that up because you don't want to be that punk in high school who's, you know, 18-year-old virgin.
Well, wow. I'm just glad that I'm not single and unsaved now. That would be dangerous because I know too much about women, and I would be dangerous if I was single and unsaved. I mean, it would be a bad scene.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I know what women want. And if I was single and unsaved, it would be dang. God knew what he was doing.
What about? Oh, yeah. You're right with that. And I definitely agree with you, because I was not born saved neither. And I was in it to win it all the time. I was trying to get knots on my, on my belt every day I could.
We must have been brothers from another mother, man.
I think we were, man, because I was in it to win it. You know, he had to come get me. He had to come and say, oh, you got to pump the brakes because you're going to kill yourself. You know what I mean? And look, I was married and had no idea what it meant to be married. Had no idea. You know, my philosophy was, well, you know, certain things your wife's supposed to do. If you're not going to do it, I'm going to go get it elsewhere. And I justified that to myself. You know what I mean?
That sounds like Brad.
Yeah. I mean, but you justify it to yourself. So when you're out there doing it, there's no guilt. Because you're still blaming your wife. But you forget about all those other things that you did to make her stop doing these things. You see what I'm saying? And that was my case, because I always hung out. I worked all the time. When I got off work, I went to the bar. By the time I got home, everybody was asleep. You know.
Hey, but doesn't that not only affect the emotions of you know, her knowing that you're going out and probably being with another later, but doesn't that affect the relationship inside the home, where we talking finances, where we talking communication, where we talking doing things that, hey, let's go to this wedding together. No, you go by yourself. I'm going out here and see the boys. Well, you know you're not going to see the boys.
It's funny that you mentioned finances, because I was the, you know, I took care of that. And that was another out that I had. You know, I was just arrogant. I was like, you know, I'm paying the bills up in here. Don't ask me nothing. I can come and go as I please. You know what I mean? I mean, I was rough with it, you know. And yes, extremely detrimental. Extremely detrimental. And the one thing that I've learned is never talk about the bills that you pay. Never throw that around. Because the average woman could care less. They're not in it for the money. If they married you 9 times out of 10, or let me just say 7 times out of 10, they're not in it for the money. So they could care less. But I thought that it held some weight. So when I did my dirt, I felt as though I was still the man. You know, as long as I'm coming in here paying these bills, don't question me. So to answer your question, yes, it was detrimental.
That I can believe. What about you know, I have a couple friends that you know, the women were the breadwinners.
Mm-hmm.
And he was working, but he would have to leave. I don't, you know, they were living separate lives in the same home. He wasn't going out cheating, but they were just living separate lives in the same home.
Wow.
You know? They would do nothing together.
What do you think that was about, though? What do you think that whole, how it got to that point? I mean, because there's a point where you hook up. You meet, you date, you love each other, whatever the case may be. You get married, and then bam, you don't want nothing to do with each other. How does it get to that point?
I don't know. I mean, because she would hang out with her friends, he would hang out with his friends. And it was just like, all right, we married, but we single. You doing your thing, I'm doing my thing. I see you at 11 o'clock. We go to bed and wake up and do the same thing tomorrow.
I'll tell you how I got to that point. For me, it was always about having some live-in snatch. And it was never about what a marriage was about. It was just one of those deals I got hemmed up in, you know. And I figured if it was living in, I could get more. And that's all it ever was. And then, you know, she started talking about, oh, we're not even married after a couple of years. We're not even married, you know, and putting that hit on me. You know, so for me, it was never a situation. It was just, okay, you know, to me, love was getting some.
Mm.
What love was. Love was getting some snatch. And if I was getting snatch, it was love. If it wasn't, it wasn't. And that's all it was. And she, you know how women get. You know, you start shacking up with them. After a while, they start putting a hit on you. You know, at least where I was at. And it was never about, oh, this is the woman I want to spend my life with, and I, you know, I want to honor and respect and love. It was just about getting some snatch.
Mm.
And if I was living with it, it was close.
Convenience.
Yeah,
guaranteed.
And she put, you know, then she all the sad sob and, you know, and she got pregnant and lost a baby, and then, you know, oh, we're not even married. Fine, I'll marry you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't about, you know, life together and honoring God and doing the right thing. It was just living snatch. You know, and so marriage, buddy of mine said to me, he said, you know, when I told him I was getting married, he's like, man, aren't you nervous? I was like, nah, man, you know, I've been living with it, you know. I've been getting the milk, now it's time to buy the cow.
Yeah, that's a terrible way to look at it, but I look at it that way, too.
How was that, man? I mean, I know it's terrible. It sounds horrible, but that's the truth. That's where I was at.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, Patrice, back to your scenario.
Uh-huh.
So do you honestly believe in that situation? That there is no infidelity going on?
I don't know. It could be on both sides, but I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, as far as I can see, that, you know, I've been told is that, hey, you know, I try to do things, however, they do it on their own, so I go do my thing on my own.
But my thing is, why live that life? That's like, to me, I never understood smoking cigarettes because you can't get high. I never understood it. I was like, why put something to your mouth with a fire if you're not going to get high? You see what I'm saying? And my question is, why live a single life while you're married if you're not going to live a single life? If you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. I mean, if you're out there, you're out there. You know, so that's why I'm thinking that when you talk about that scenario, that they're married, they got the separate friends, separate this, blah, 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 blah. There got to be some other things going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and maybe nobody's complaining because it's all good for everybody involved.
Now, what if the scenario is the other way? What if the dude is married and she's not?
Wow.
You know, you got a point there. That goes back to this switching roles where we talked about earlier. It's that the man is at home and the woman is going out.
Yeah.
I think you hear it all the time where, I mean, hey, we married, but you allow your wife to hang out with her friends and go to the club.
Yeah.
You do that during marriage?
Wow.
I think that, can I say something? I think that men do that and promote that because that's what they want to do. Like, I doubt that, you know, the man would be like, yeah, you know, go to the club, have fun with your friends, and he's sitting home washing the dishes or whatever, you know. So I think that it's almost consent, you know, to say, you know, hey, you do your thing because I'm going to do mine. But bottom line, the man is probably still going to do his, whether she goes out, even though he promotes, you know, to say, hey, do what you want to do, go out with your friends. You know, whether she does it or not, he's still intending on going out and, you know, doing the, as the topic is, you know, living the single life or whatever. But, you know, I just wonder, you know, why is it, you know, we talking about, you know, men and everything, married, being married and all that stuff, but have we discussed the women who are just ready and willing to jump on board that train, you know, knowing that the man is married? You know, I just think it's just, and it's not as hard to come by as it was in years past, you know, whereas I don't even know if women respect themselves anymore enough to say, you know, that, no, you know, you're married, sir, you know, you attract them and everything, but you're married, so let's not go there. But nowadays, it's like, hey, you look good, I look good, we're here. It really has no bearing whether the individual is married or not.
Now, why is that?
That's the, as Tony would say, that's the $69 million question.
Well,
I think it starts off with that flirt. I mean, I think women, they fantasize so much about being married. And those women, I think, are visual creatures also. They see a married man. And they see the things that he do. I think they get more affectionate with not the actual man, but the lifestyle that he's living.
It's the game. And I tell you why I say that. Like, we play the game, but they play their own game. You know what I'm saying? Most women hate on other women. Most women don't get along with other women, contrary to belief. They just, you know, they want, you know, you can't wear the same dress that this woman got. I mean, just certain things, you know. And if they don't have a man and somebody else got a man, okay, they are interested in that man. Not all of them, but some women are interested in that man. But the game has rules. And the rules are, as long as you're married, you can play that game. But when you leave your wife for this woman, the game ends. Because
Now
it's no longer a challenge.
You know, there's a lot more jealousy amongst women than amongst men.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to look at a dude, you know, and be jealous that he's married, and I'm not.
Exactly.
Right.
But women, I mean, you know, I don't know what it is. A lot of times, I mean, I have seen it, and it's like, wow, it's amazing to me. I mean, we just think very, very differently. You know what I mean? And you know, we guys are real, you know, upfront and dumb. Women are sneaky as all get out. Okay. You know, they're playing a game, and if you don't know it, you have no idea they're playing that game.
That's right.
You know, we guys are just dumb and careless. Women aren't like that. They got stuff going on behind the scenes that most men don't even have a clue of going on behind the scenes.
But they're more calculating.
Yep. Yeah. It's just dangerous, man. For a married man, that's a dangerous game to play.
It is. And it starts with flirting.
Starts with flirting. It's a dangerous game to play because you're playing with someone that 9 times out of 10 is going to outsmart you because she has got something that you want.
That's
right. And she's also letting you know that you can get it on the down low. And with that combination, most men are going to fall for it. Be like, I can get what I want. Keep it on the down low. Nobody has to find out about it and still go home to my wife. I'm in.
Now, here's the deal. And it doesn't matter how smart you think you are, how wealthy you think you are. Look at Tiger Woods, okay? It's going to come out. It doesn't matter. It's going to come out, okay? And you know, doesn't matter what she says. Oh, I know you're married, and I'm okay with it. That's a lie.
That's a lie.
That is a lie, okay? Because you know what? When it's Valentine's Day and you with your wife, that's not going to be cool. Okay? And when she got to get the leftovers and this and that, there's going to be a time when you go, baby, I can't talk to you. That's not going to work. Oh, it's enough for you to come over here and hit it, but you can't talk to me.
That's when I'm emotional kicking in, huh?
Let me redirect this thing a little bit because we're getting somewhere. I want to talk about the workplace, and I'm going to ask an honest question, and you don't have to answer the question out loud. But at the workplace, assuming that we all work with people from the opposite sex, Do you think there's people there, women there, that if you made an advance, even though you're married, that it would be a non-issue?
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We have to make it now. Because they're scouting you.
Not, I mean, like, the fact that you're married doesn't even come up. It's just when and where.
Yep.
Wow.
And the one thing about it is if you take too long, they might make the advance.
You got that.
That's heavy.
That's real heavy.
That's heavy. Is that okay, so being how heavy that is, do some of us purposely keep our wife out of the workplace?
No.
Heck no.
I just want to know.
Yeah, but not for this reason, though.
Okay, for another reason. Okay.
Yeah, it's another reason. It has nothing to do with the topic or trying to appear single or anything like that. It's more of the fact that I've always been a person that likes to keep my personal life separate from my professional life. You know, I look at that as when I'm at the job, I'm at the job. When I'm with my family, I'm with my family. Complete opposites.
Gotcha. But what about the company cookouts and the company events and the baseball games and all that kind of stuff that the company throws and they say, bring the family?
Mine's right there, right beside me.
Oh. Yeah, mine's too, if she decides to go. But, I mean, it's just not, definitely not, for other women, definitely not, in the workplace that I would be like, oh, no, you can't come, definitely not. No, no worries there.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Well, I had a girl, a lady on my job last month tell me that, She would take me, throw me in the pool, do me, and make me forget about my wife. I said, she's an African girl.
Huh?
An African girl, too.
Throw you in the pool.
After you dried up, did you forget about her?
Did you sneak in the bed?
That's good. Actually, when I was down in Florida, I actually saw, I think my wife saw it. She told me about it. This dude was walking around with a T-shirt that said, if you sleep with me, I promise not to tell my wife. I was like, wow. That's pretty interesting.
He didn't tell on you, did he?
Huh?
He didn't tell on you, did he?
No, sir.
So now we get into that, that T word, that trust factor.
Mm-hmm.
That comes into play because, you hear it all the time is one person is jealous of the other, and usually that person is the one doing the dirt.
There you go.
Right? So, in my case, mine is totally opposite. My wife come home and say, hey, this guy tried to talk to him, and I say, well, do you need me to come down there? I can sure enough be down there tomorrow and stuff to stop this. And she'll be like, no, I'm just letting you know.
How do you feel about that, though? I mean, I got to ask you a question on that. How do you feel about that? You're coming to tell you that some guy tried to talk to you. He didn't harm her. It wasn't offensive, and she obviously handled it. She handled it on her own. But how do you feel about her telling you that?
I don't usually say nothing right after the beginning. I'll let it soak in for a second, just because I don't need no other guy talking to my wife. But then it's like, but that was great. Thanks for letting me know. I mean, if you feel that good, tell me that, that's love. To me, that's love.
I think it's a message. I think it's some sort of subliminal message, man.
Well,
just me.
No, I would agree with you on a subliminal message. I think sometimes women have a tendency to do that stuff just to try to see what it will get out of you.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually selectively placed. It might not be all the time. It'll be in some situation where something's going on or something hasn't been going on, or she doesn't feel like y'all are emotionally connected or whatever, blah, 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 blah. And then it's like, well, yeah, I was out at the park today, and I wasn't even paying attention to this, you know, and this dog ran up to me, and then all of a sudden this guy showed up. It's a whole story. It's not. It's never just a short thing of somebody tried to talk to me. It's a story. So it's kind of thought out.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I paused in there and I had to think about it for a minute.
Right.
And I'm like, okay. So now, yeah. And then at the end, I got to figure out what I need to do. So.
Well, no, but actually nothing. That's like my wife is terrified of bugs. She'll call me up and be like, there's a bug in the bathroom.
Why are you calling me?
And then she'll say, but I killed it. I'm like, so why are you calling me?
Right.
If you handled the situation. I don't need to know there's a bug in the bathroom if you killed it. I don't need to know if a guy tried to talk to you if you handled it. I want to know when you can't handle it and it's out of your control. That's when I want to know.
Yeah, but that's not the way it's going to be.
Okay. Speak on it.
It's just not going to be that way because they're looking to have the conversation.
Mm.
See, you know, where you are. I mean, That's a test.
Yep.
All right. Look and see, are you concerned? All right. They're looking to see if, you know, if you quote unquote really care. Because if you don't care, you'll be like, oh, okay. You'll be like, daggone, dude can talk to me and it's okay. See that when they tell you that, it's not a threat. Trust me. If it was a threat, if they were thinking about this dude, they wouldn't say Jack.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
That's what that's about.
But do you think it could be about just letting you know that to get on top of your game, because other people are definitely still interested in me?
Well, I mean, hey, you know, she worked in retail and she worked in at the hospital. So she's always in communication with somebody, some type of male. And there's been times where, you know, she'll say, this guy keep coming to talk to me, and then I'll show up. There was one time where the cop came by, and she was like, Patrice, you get ready to go to jail. I was like, I don't care. I'm about to take this man right out of this van and tighten him up real quick.
Hmm.
And it's just, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it, but if I ever find out about it, you know, I got to think about that top secret, but I can get a job somewhere.
Good word, yeah. I always thought that there was something more to it with that, you know, because, again, you know, you expect your wife to handle certain situations, and you know, if somebody's flirting with me on the job, I'm not bringing it home. It's not coming in the house with me.
Nope.
I'm going to handle it the best way I can, to the best of my ability. And if I get out alive, I'm not bringing it up to nobody.
But do y'all think that more married men are living the single life, or more married women are living the single life?
Men.
I would actually say it. I would think it's probably would break even. Because I think
I knew you would say that.
You're pulling out the old cameo single.
Yeah. I followed you today.
Orange Juice Jones, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Silly rabbit tricks are for kids.
Yeah.
I would say men. Only because women treasure that day. Women are born, most of them born and raised to be married, to have their wedding day, to have their husband. We, on the opposite, are born to duck that day. We're born to evade that day, to say, okay, well, how long can we get what we need to get before we get tied down to the old ball and chain? You see what I'm saying? So I would think that we have more flashbacks than them.
See, the only reason I say it's probably about equal is because, one, all right, so men are probably trying to live this lifestyle somewhat, And those men that are trying to live that lifestyle are then, in fact, going to work with these women that are married, or and they are basically engaging them in these conversations and putting these thoughts or these ideas in their head. And before you know it, this woman may be starting to, you know, I guess, entertain the thought, idea, play around with it, at least contemplate it a little bit. And whether they realize it or not, emotionally they're connected in some capacity. And the other way that I was looking at it, too, was from the standpoint of, you know, with all the, I guess, stressors, hurdles, obstacles, and things that everyone is experiencing in relationships now, dual income households, all these other things, the, you know, the amount of hours that people are putting in, the opportunities for women to do the same thing are just as prevalent as men.
Mm-hmm.
It works.
It's just as prevalent as men. Because I had to catch a woman, I want to say like 2 years ago, because she kept referring to me and married one of my colleagues as her work husband.
Whoa.
And I'd never heard of it. I'm like, ah, that's hilarious, you know. But as she kept referring to it, and then when we would be in meetings together, yeah, you know, this is my work husband.
Wow.
I probably had to say, yeah, no. That's, you know, I actually have another title. It's not work husband. That's not my title. This business card does not say work husband. It doesn't say that. You know, so I told my wife about that, and of course she was like, you need to correct that. Blah, 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 blah. I had a conversation with her about it, and it slowly went away. And I, even till this day, even now and then, it comes out every now and then, and I had to just shoot a look and be like, yeah, no.
Is she married?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, I've actually heard those terms thrown around, and, you know, and I've read about them. I haven't experienced it personally, but, yeah, that's some strange stuff because, I mean, when you're working, especially, you know, if you got a lot of team projects and, you know, that kind of stuff where you – working together a lot, close proximity or whatever, you know, you actually can spend, in some cases, more time with your coworker that happens to be a female than your wife.
Wow.
And, you know, the whole thing about it is that I just think that's just totally, totally inappropriate, you know, to even, oh, that's my work husband. Because then, you know, then it goes into other thoughts like, man, I wonder, you know. He's just good at work, you know. I mean, I wonder how good a actual husband he would be. Probably better than mine. Then the thoughts just start to race, you know, as far as what could be, what could potentially be, and then that's when it gets, you know, out of hand.
Yeah. All of a sudden, you know, you show up to work, she done made you a lunch. Well, wait a minute, I brought my lunch.
Whoa.
Wow. I mean,
oh, she done brought you some extra.
but why are you talking about, you know, these so-called work-wise, aren't they though also the ones that sometimes, you know, guys who do work a lot maybe talk to for advice?
Yeah,
that's dangerous there, bro.
Yeah, that
once
is
you open that, once you open that Pandora box and you start getting those, you know, they start getting more and more on your side. And
one thing about it, like when you talk to somebody that's not your wife about your relationship, they're going to have all the right answers. You know, they're going to be like, I mean, they're going to give you the greatest advice. You know, you should do it this way. You should think about it. And it's like,
unrealistic.
It's a trap. Yeah, it's unrealistic because that woman, it's a setup because that woman is not dealing with the day-to-day that you and your wife have to deal with. And, of course, she's going to have all the little, you know, that little extra spaghetti or whatever that she may have a little bit of my spaghetti while I give you this great advice. And then it just starts to, I mean, you start to wonder. It's like, man. So, I mean, but it's a setup because they're going to have all the right answers. Well, you should do this. But in the actual situation, you know, it's not going to, if you were married to her, it wouldn't be that simple. You know, it's just not that simple.
Nope.
It's funny that you say that, man, because I can't tell you how many times I fell for that hook, line, and sinker. I mean, I fell for it. I was like, you know what? You are the one for me. Let's roll.
Wow.
Yeah, because, you know, they listen to you vent.
Yep.
They listen to, and see, when you vent, that's when you're telling your business. Yep. That's when you're giving them all the ammunition to come back and say what they won't do.
That's right. That's right.
And then you're like, man, you don't do that? You mean I can watch the game and you won't fuss and I don't have to do that? Man, hey, can we hook up?
Wow. How many times you fall for that?
Dude, more than I'd like to say on this recorded phone line, but a lot.
Oh, man.
I mean, listen. When you're in a bad marriage, you're open for suggestions, and I'm going to leave it there. You're open for suggestions, and when somebody comes along saying the right things, and I was just so dumb, I told them what to say.
Right. You gave them the script.
Gave them the script. You know what I mean? And here I am, la, 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 boom, walk right into the wall.
And one thing about it, you said the key word, Mr. Host.
Yeah.
She listened.
She listened.
She sat there and you just vented and paid. She's like, really? Oh, tell me more. Tell me more. Just listen.
That's what they do, man. They smart, man. I'm telling you. Be smart.
It's all a setup, man.
It's all a setup, man. I'm getting ready to go into this 10 o'clock monkey wrench.
Uh-oh.
I got a monkey wrench. And it's something that, you know, I've been thinking about a long time because I see it a lot. And I just want to know you guys' opinion. Is it cool to have your spouse at church without you?
Well, that's the monkey wrench.
That's the monkey wrench.
Mm.
And I'm going
to
go one step further.
Yeah, you're going to have to take that step further.
Is it cool to have your wife or your husband in church looking single when they marry?
Wow.
But how do you look single? just because you're not there, you look single.
You say look single, is that the husband is at work all the time, but you never see the wife?
No, we're in church. We got to stay in church with
her. We stay in church. You look single to me.
Okay, yeah, I'm in church. I'm sorry. I mean, in church all the time, but you never see the wife. Is that what you're talking about?
Hey, look, how many women you see coming to church without their husband?
Yes.
There's tons of them.
Tons. How is that? How does that happen? I'm just asking a question. I'm not saying whether it's right or wrong, but I'm just asking a question. How does that happen?
I see where you're going with it, and I think that, you know, even, you know, like I remember it was a couple weeks ago, Tony, you know, I asked you, I was like, where's your wife? You know, yeah, she's, you know, just a little under the weather, whatever the case may be, but I was just asking, you know, but for somebody that didn't ask you, they may assume, oh, man, they must be having problems. They ain't even going to church together.
Somebody asked me, was I all right? Because I'm sitting in church without my wife. Hey, you all right? What do you mean, am I all right? Don't I look all right? Do I look like I took offense to it. You know what I mean? I'm like, yeah, am I all right?
Oh, man. No, was it a female to ask you?
Yes.
Oh, they're looking for that angle.
Yes.
They're looking for that angle.
No,
like,
this one wasn't looking for no angle. But it was a concerned look like, are you all right? And you know who I was sitting with in church? I was sitting with you, right?
Oh, man. Well, you know you're in trouble sitting with me. You know, it's like you in the wrong spot sitting beside that guy. Are you all right? Why are you sitting by him? But it might have been that same day, you know. But like you said, you know, she's like, hey, are y'all doing okay? And it's just 1 week.
One week.
Let's show up at church without my wife. I mean, it's like, where's your wife? I'm like, what? I'm not good enough. Where's your wife?
Yeah, y'all are one, you know, one unit.
Yeah.
It's a problem.
I think it aligns with the jingle that's out there. You know, essentially what people are looking at is that, well, y'all must not be praying together, so y'all ain't staying together.
You know, you stay together.
So when you're in the church and you're not there with your other praying companion, which would be your spouse, y'all ain't staying together.
Well, I know that this year it's been actually rare that my wife and I have been in church together. I mean, we're in the building. You know, somewhere in the building.
Yeah.
Exactly. So we might drive to the church together, and we'll leave the church together in the same vehicle. But as far as in the actual service together, it's like hit or miss, you know. And then people, like you said, people say, "Where's your wife? She's working, you know. And she's in the building somewhere, but she's here, you know. And you know, but the whole thing about it is, like you say, I mean, it's like, yo, I see you, then I see her, I don't see you, you know, so what's going on? It's like, hey, we working. Sorry, you know.
But do we care? I mean, honest question. Do we care what people think in the church?
I don't.
You shouldn't in theory, but honestly, in all honesty, that's probably where you probably need to be the most aggressive in playing prevent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you really need to be aggressive in playing prevent in the church, and that's unfortunate, but, I mean, man, there are a lot of wolves and sheep's clothing out there.
Exactly.
And I mean, you'll be thinking that this is, in church, we are two church-going Christians, we're having this conversation about something, and this woman is sizing you up because your wife is not there.
Wow.
You know, and she has seen all the things that you've done in with the congregation and the things you've involved, the different funds that you've contributed to, what you've done with the church van and then Sunday school, and she just likes that. And she knows that once she get a man like you, a church husband like you, not a work husband.
Not a work husband.
Like you? Oh, goodness.
Yeah,
that's
the
thing is,
if
you were in here and you were my husband, you would never be by yourself.
And you can tell, you know, I don't mean to harm, I know when women are looking at me and my wife is not there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you can feel the eyes on you, and, you know, and I ain't the greatest thing to look at, but, you know, I can tell when it's that little extra hug or that little extra look, like, yeah, I know your wife ain't here. You know, it's like, hey, my wife's upstairs. You better watch yourself.
Yeah, I am not the offering plate. Why are you putting change in my suit pocket?
Oh, man.
Yeah, I was really wondering that because I see it a lot. And that's the one thing that I asked my wife to do. I said, don't send me to church by myself. I said, you and I started this thing together. We started going together. It's what we do. It's something that we do. I said, if you're tired and you don't feel like going, I said, I'm still going to go, but I would appreciate if you would get that extra effort just to go. Now, if you're under the weather, I understand that, but don't send me to church by myself because that's our family image. That's me and you in there worshiping together. That's what we do.
And Mr.
I don't want us to look like we there's a break in the armor somewhere.
Yeah, Mr. Host, where is the, you know, is what we're talking about tonight, unfortunately, is prevalent in the church.
Yes.
You know, yes. You're married, but your wife ain't there. You know,
yes.
And but, you know, the other women, like you said, like your question said, you're seen as single.
Yes.
Your wife is not standing by your side.
Yes.
Y'all not walking in hand in hand.
Yep, yep.
First of all, 85% of all the single people in church are women.
Yep.
Okay? There aren't a whole lot of single dudes up in the church. All those women coming in by themselves, a lot of them are looking for... I'm going to tell you, man has
Hello?
To talk to me back.
Andrew, you on a bad line. Where you at?
That ain't me, man.
Oh, okay.
Somebody doing some work, flipping some tables over.
I'm going to give you all a perfect example. And I know you've seen it before, but maybe didn't recognize it, or maybe didn't put two thoughts to it. But you know when they have the prayer line? You know when people come up and they pray for you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you see the women that are married that come up there and the husband's not in church and they're getting prayed over and you see the tears come down. You can almost imagine. You know what I mean? Even if it's time to speculate, what's wrong with her? Her husband ain't here. She up there crying, getting prayed over.
Mm.
Sometimes you think, you know, what's going on? I don't know. I can't have, for me, I couldn't have my wife be that woman.
Yeah. Wow. That's heavy right there.
I couldn't have my wife be that woman. Well, I ain't there. We got problems. But you are publicly, which is fine. That's fine because you're supposed to take it to the altar. I do understand that. You see what I'm saying? But it also gives out signals of what's really going on in their house. Do we need to go by and knock on the door and see if everybody's okay? Because Christians will think that way.
Yeah.
Do we need to go by and knock on the door and see if everybody's okay? Which is not a bad thing, but I don't want my wife to be that person.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, but anyway. Anybody else on that? I thought Andrew was going to say something.
No, I said, I've been that man.
Yeah.
I'm trying to keep my marriage together, you know, and it's not just the men, you know, and you know, when you got Christ in your heart, that's where you go. And I was one of those 15% of the men that was going to church. And, you know, the wife was out there, you know, gunslinging, you know, and I've been on both sides of it. I've been gunslinging and gunslinged on, you know, and it's a tough situation. But I will tell you this, you know, from my experience, like I said, you know, a Christian single man in a church that ain't too scruffy, got a target on his back. These women in the church are desperate.
Huh.
And,
wow.
And the fight is on, especially if the dude got anything going on.
Mm-hmm.
I had women claiming me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm serious. I mean, when Glenn and I got engaged, man, you should have seen the stuff she had to go through. Women pissed off at her. That was, you know, I was claiming him.
Wow.
Boaz, man, who are you to come in here? I mean, all kind of stuff. I don't know if Brian's still on the phone. But
oh, yeah.
Brian, you remember some of the stuff Glenn was going through?
Oh, yeah. I remember that one, man.
Like, you got to be kidding. I couldn't believe it, man. You know,
yeah.
I was just deal, and I didn't understand, you know, the protocol. You know, I had women coming up to me saying, you know, I'm single and celibate for 7 years. And I was like, damn, I don't want you. You ain't giving it up. It was a positive. I thought that was negative.
Mm-hmm. I know a group of guys, married men, that find a way to get to Dominican Republic once a year.
Oh.
Or Brazil.
By
themselves? By themselves without a
wife.
Right.
You know, because they all bring back the pictures, and they up on the pictures, and
videos,
butt naked, you know. So the question I want to throw out to the group, is there any places, now we know that the two places that I just mentioned are definitely off limits to go without the wife, but I could be wrong. Are there places that we should be that is okay for us to be if we're married men?
Not Brazil.
By ourselves?
By
on
ourselves.
Vacation? On vacation?
Yeah. Vacation anywhere, or just, you know.
A men's retreat.
Basically, that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it.
A men's retreat with the church.
What about a sleepover? What about, you know, you was out at the club, you was out drinking, and then you ended up at your boy's house because you was too twisted to drive home.
That's dicey. I mean, it's just you and your boy going back, but it's other people.
I'm into something I shouldn't be into.
Yeah, that's dicey.
So
I think what it comes down to is it doesn't really matter about places. It's all about the company that you keep when you go to these places. Because here's the thing. I know for a fact, I could be at church with a couple of my friends, and then it could be on and popping. Because they're going to make it on and pop at church.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
No, and they'd be like, man, I got this thing in the back, man, and you just be like, this is church, church.
Yeah, but I mean,
they can make it pop in there. So it's like, I don't necessarily know if it's places, but it's more of the company and the people that you with. Because the example you gave, I think, is a really good one. If you start getting, if you twisted, and you know, you with your friend, and you know, stand over crashing at their spot. I mean, it's one thing when your boy's just saying, you know what, you can come back to the crib, crash on the couch, and it's just you at your boy's spot, and it's not some jump off there too.
Yeah, but I think that it's even deeper than
that. Right. You know that ain't gonna happen. I mean, come on, you out like that, that ain't gonna happen.
Yeah, but I
think if you got mama at home, the first thing you think is, I need to get home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to get in the door.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you also know what's going on.
I don't know about y'all, but that ain't gonna work for me. Oh well, you know, I crashed over Brian's house. I was so drunk. I didn't... that ain't gonna work. I ain't married to one of them.
You will hear that. You
hear
a knock on the door. Like, is Andrew here?
I'm coming to get you.
Like,
yeah.
I'll come get you.
Well, I think it's even deeper than that, fellas, because I know, and P can probably speak to this as well. I think he mentioned this a few calls back. But it just seems like the married folks at work, when we have like a conference or something out of state, they go buck wild. They go buck wild, and then come back, and then it's like these people are married with children, and they're, you know, they're nice and everything. But as soon as they get on the bus or get on the plane and get off, they are a totally different person. And I just don't understand that whole concept. It's like, what in the world? I've been working with you for 8 years, and then we go on this little week, 3-day trip, and you just buck wild.
That's because the marriage addiction does not go out of state. They'll go out of state. It's like a city cop. You ain't got no jurisdiction in the county. You just out there riding. And you know good well, all of us be like, oh, that cop ain't even in his jurisdiction. I'm going to go ahead and go past. I'm going back up to 65. I'm going on the speed limit.
But you know, P, I mean, when you go to comments and stuff, the people that you thought was, you know, happily married, everything was great, no.
Oh,
they at the bar. It comes out quickly, and it don't take long. It don't, you know, it may be a 3-day joint. They buck on the mid afternoon.
First night.
Wow.
They got happy hour at the bar in the hotel.
Man.
You stand at the Embassy Suite, they give you them little tickets. You just go down there, and then you just really see how they really act.
But then they come back and fall right back in line. Like, I guess it's like Vegas. Like, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, because it's like nothing ever happened.
But it don't, because it'd be on somebody's Facebook that night. You already know. You can put Facebook from your cell phone. It'd be on somebody's Facebook page. Look at so-and-so from the mail room. They are cutting up.
Oh, man.
You know what I mean? But I don't know, man. I don't really see my job. We don't take trips, so I would never get a chance to see. But we have been at cookouts and stuff like that, and I've seen people really get loose.
Right.
I had
you can't blame it on the alcohol.
Nah, you sure can't.
And I put the pictures on Facebook myself. I put them on Facebook. I said, I'm going to put y'all on blast because y'all ain't got nothing on me, but y'all on blast. Walk around here fronting if you want.
Mm-hmm.
I had to quit a job one time because I worked for this company for 17 years. I was the regional supervisor for the job, and I had to fly from Mississippi, California, Alabama, to all these different places that they own, and turn these places around for the company that I work for. But everywhere I traveled with these two white women, man. And one of them was the vice president of the company. And over a period of time, man, she kept trying to come on to me, man, and try to give me the headache, you know, being out there, right? And I was like, I was like, you know, when you turned it down, right, it was crazy because it was a catch 22 type thing. I worked for her sister. Her sister was the owner of the company, and her sister was the vice president of the company. So it'd have been very difficult for me to come back and say your sister was sexually harassing me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I had to leave the job, man. So it was crazy. But she sure was trying to get me to hit that thing, man. If I was anything like I was, boy, she'd have been in trouble.
But is that a big problem?
Baby B.
Huh?
Baby B. How was it?
Oh, get out of here.
But is that a big problem for men? Penis control? Let's go ahead on and talk about it, man.
Penis control?
Penis control.
He just said penis control. Okay, let's talk about it.
Just because I know this call is recorded.
No, that's worse, man. Brian? Huh?
I know you.
I couldn't do it.
Well, I know you. Hit it.
No,
I don't know you.
You said he hit it, then he quit it?
At one time in my life, I might have hit it, but you know, it was, you know, when she was a good looking lady, she wasn't bad looking either, man. You know, and now the other one that came on to me, I might hit it.
So the wrong one came on to you.
Yeah.
So you had less penis control with the other lady.
Yeah, but
penis control. That's amazing.
Hey, go ahead and talk about it.
I was in Mississippi.
Well, I mean, just think about it, man. We always talk about, you know, hey, I was thinking with the wrong head.
Oh, yeah. We all do.
Back when you were in the basement.
But I think the turn on with the other one might have been the fact that I knew she was racist and she was a redneck. And this opportunity to blow it up for the hell out of it would have been cool.
Oh, my goodness.
Been doing your part to balance out the force.
This is not when you were in the basement.
Huh?
This is not when you were in the...
Nah, this was before then, man, actually.
Oh, okay.
This is before then.
What would have happened?
What? What would happen? What would the situation? You breaking up, Andrew?
If this had happened when you were in the basement, what would have been your reaction?
He'd be president of the company, CEO.
Hey, by you, it wouldn't have had no more rubber on the tire.
Yeah. Oh,
it's some burnouts, you know what I mean?
But I think back to Patrice's point, I think that the whole thing about it is that it's, you know, those thoughts come, you know, absolutely, but it's like it comes back to the point of are you happy? And are you happy at home? So, you know, like you can have that thought, but how long that thought, you know, it plays itself out just comes back to how happy you are at home. So if you ain't happy at home, you know, like in Brian's case, you know, he probably would have been president of the company, you know, whatever.
You know what, Rodney, I think it comes down to more than being happy, because happy is a season. I think it comes down to, is it worth it?
Yeah.
Mm.
Because, we're, you know, being married, there's times when you're happy, there's times when you're not so happy.
Yeah.
So that's right.
If you're making those decisions based on happiness, you know, that's not cool. But the bottom line is it worth it? Is it worth the price that you're going to pay to chase that piece of?
Man, yeah, you're right about that, because you do have to weigh it out. The unfortunate part is when you get to a point where you just say, you know what, screw it.
Yeah, when you get to that effort point, see, that's when it's, but when you have something that's holding you deeper, when you think, well, you know, wait a minute, okay, and you know, like Tony said, and I was saying, you know, the least of my problems is going to be my wife.
Mm-hmm.
When I got to face my Lord, that's a different ballgame. That's a whole different feet to the fire deal.
Mm-hmm.
know, you can be upset with your wife. You can be, you know, you can have a situation where you're having a challenge or whatever the situation. But you know what? You're never going to have that kind of situation with Christ.
Yeah.
Good
have that with, but when it comes down to you understanding what marriage is and you understanding what God's calling you as a Christian man and a Christian husband to be, you know, that little piece of snatch ain't all that.
Mm-mm.
It's not going to matter anyway.
And you make a very good point, Andrew, because I had a situation, another situation. This is a long time ago, and you guys commented on something earlier, and I didn't really respond to it because I thought about it. I said, do I really want to say this on the radio? No. But I had met a young lady a long time ago, and her friend was incarcerated. And like we was talking about the 50-50 thing about the different women, different and with a guy. And what happened with this young lady was, and you guys say sometimes it don't last, but I met this young lady and her friend had 7 years there. And all she wanted was somebody to hit it until he came home.
Wow.
Hey, that's what it was. You know what I've been saying? And I could look her in the face and look him in the face and smile and be tripping at the same time, you see? But that was crazy, you know?
Back just helping out the situation.
Yeah.
You just helping him out. Was that the president of the company?
No.
Oh, man.
God, this is the president, the vice president of the company was a white woman, man.
Yeah, okay. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, just for the redneck factor.
I got to ask a question.
Yeah.
A couple calls ago, we talked about abuse, that if we saw a man, a friend of ours, that we knew that he was physically abusing his wife, that we would step in and try to, and you know, just step in and try to straighten it. I think we all agreed upon that. But let's flip it a little bit. Let's just flip it a little bit and say if you saw another one of your male friends that wasn't physically abusing his wife, but he was playing the single life while being married, and you see it with your own eyes, what do you do?
Is that before or after you come to Christ?
After.
Definitely got to straighten my boy out and be like, Brian, dude. Come on, man. You know, I know the struggle, but, dude, you know. And Brian and I are close enough where we can do that.
Oh, yeah, no question. We used to have conversations, man. If I had things on my heart or things that was bothering me, man, or things I felt as if I was going to slip into, I would always talk to him and say, look, you know, it's in my mind, man, because, I mean, this is a girl I used to date, man. She looked like Halle Berry, man. She's 5'6". Why, man? You know what I'm saying? And
hey, Brian.
Yeah.
Have we had that conversation?
Oh, you know that's right.
You know it.
Okay.
Well, I would say something. I would bring it up to him, and that would be as far as it would go. But I wouldn't have anything to say like his wife.
No. I mean, no. To him. But what would you say to him?
It would probably be on the same lines of, come on, man, that's not what you know you should be doing. That's definitely not the example that you want to set for your family, because I'm just thinking about my friends. Most of them have kids. So, and it would probably be along those lines. And even and more so, it would just be about us, you know, because most of them would be good friends, people that I've known for a while. So we'll be able to talk about how those days are behind us and being out there trying to ball a little bit. That's done, you know, and that would be it. I mean, it would legitimately probably be one good, firm, stern, long dialogue about it. And that would be it. Now, if it persisted, I said what I had to say. But that means I might have to distance myself from when you are doing things. And I definitely don't want my name brought up in anything.
Yeah.
One of the situations, and I think we all need somebody we can be accountable to.
Yeah.
Somebody that we trust and go, look, man, I'm going to tell you what. this bee is looking bad. And I'm going to tell you, man, I don't know. Things ain't right at home, and I'm thinking about pulling up on it. And we think we got to have somebody that we can be close enough to know and trust that will love us through that, okay? And that's the truth, you know. And I'm going to tell you, my boy Brian, he, you know, hey, we can talk about anything, and we have. You know, we've been through some stuff. We've seen each other through some stuff. And everybody needs somebody that you can be straight up and say, let me tell you, man, I'm in a struggle.
Yeah, it happened to me. It happened to me not too long ago. One of my boys from college. I know his wife well. We've had Thanksgiving together. We've hung out. Me and his wife are real cool. You know what I mean? But he's always cheated on his wife. He was cheating on his wife back in the day when I was cheating on mine, back way long time ago. Long time ago. First wife. But anyway, make a long story short, you know, now for me it's different. You see what I'm saying? And I felt a little funny when I saw it because I was with my wife now and I saw him in Virginia with the next chick. You know what I mean? And I felt bad because I'm like, dude, I know your wife. It's not like I don't know her. She's cool. She's like a friend of mine. You know what I mean? But I couldn't say anything at that point because he was with the girl. You know what I mean? And I talked to him later, but I never brought it up again because I honestly didn't know what to say to him because he's always done it. It wasn't like a sudden thing. It's like, dude, this is how he rolls.
Yeah, and that's kind of different, too, because y'all used to run together. Y'all used to do the same things, and now you done converted, and it's like, who are you? I mean, you used to do the
exactly.
same thing
who,
I'm doing.
Yeah, who are you? You all brand new now. Who are you coming to tell me what to do?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? I didn't want to be that guy either. So I said, okay, well, you know, you do your thing.
Yeah, that's a tough spot because I got one of my good friends. He's always been like that. I think back to every girl he's ever dated. I mean, he just could not just be with them. It, you know, I mean, his thing right now, actually, and the good thing about it is we're from afar, his thing right now is the Craigslist girls.
Wow.
Oh, come on, man.
And so what happens is, you know, every time I get a chance to talk to this cat, you know, he's running that down about, man, oh, when we was this, we set this up here and blah, blah, blah. And I know his wife. I was at his wedding.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
His best man. I was all of this, you know, but this is how he has always been. You know, and when we do finally get a chance to connect and stuff, you know, family's interacting. You know, again, I'm sitting there with his wife, you know.
Wow.
And all these people. And I just know that, well, last week he was out in the Bay Area crushing cats.
Mm.
And the only thing I can say to him, like I said, is he doesn't live in the same state with me. Only thing I can say is, yo, man, don't bring nothing home to your wife, man. You got to make good choices, man. And he's like, yeah, you know, I need to reel it in. And then, of course, this thing is he still goes back to trying to sell me on, man, I'm telling you, though. And I was like, come on, you know I never got down like that.
yeah.
But let me ask y'all this at 10:45, and this may be a tough question. Do that guy, your friend, if he repeatedly wants to do that, can y'all still be friends?
Yeah, he's still my man. I mean, that's the bottom line. I got some cats I grew up with that are D-boys till this day. They're still my friends. I mean, I don't hang out with them like I used to, you know, especially now being an adult and a family. But if I run into them when I go back home, you know, they're my friends. I'm not going to not talk to them. But this guy, I mean, with this, I guess it's also you just got to weigh out the level of, I guess, what the sin is. That even makes sense. They're all sins. But, I mean, they're all sins, but it's like, you know, one person is dealing drugs, the other is just out there just with a rack of women. I mean, I don't know. But, I mean, we can still be friends. I mean, he's still my friend.
I don't know. I mean, would y'all still be my friend if I was doing that? I mean, really, that would be...
I want to answer that.
Yeah, please do.
I want to answer that, and it's very, very, very intriguing that you asked that question. I would know you. That's where I'm at with it. I know you. As far as we hanging, you in my circle, no. Because we ain't on the same page no more.
I think you have to define friend.
Exactly. I would still know you, but as far as saying, I mean, because a friend of mine just called me the other day that, and I know he's married. I know he's married. Because I know, a friend of mine is married. And he's like, yo, man, and I ain't talked to this guy in 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
It might have been longer than that. And this conversation was like, yeah, man, let's get together and hook up. Maybe we can go over here, blah, blah, blah. I got this little hideaway spot. Hideaway spot? What is that? You know what I'm saying? So that tells me that you still over there. I'm not over there. I can't go hang out with you with whoever in the hideaway spot.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
And I get what you're saying. But it goes back to what was posed. It's like, we can still be friends, but I agree with you. I mean, we ain't kicking it like that anymore. I'm not going to be running and hanging out with you. It's like, like I said, when I go back and these cats are D-boys right now, if I run into them, hey, how's it going? Blah, blah, oh, blah, blah, blah. And then we just keep it moving. It's not like, hey, let me get your number. You over at your mama's spot. I'm going to come by and we'll catch up and go get. No, ain't all that. I got a family to come home now, too. That ain't going to happen. But then the flip side of it, though, is I actually posed this to my uncle a while back because this whole thing with trying to figure out some of my friends and decisions and things like that. And you know what he said to me? It was so simple. Because he was like, well, it was, and I was telling him how long I had known him and all this stuff and blah, 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 blah. We grew up together since like the second grade and blah, blah, blah. He gave me this simple response. All you got is your friends. That's it.
Wow.
All he said. And when you think about it, it's funny, but the truth of the matter is that same cat that's that D-boy who I'm not going to hang out with, who I don't talk to because I haven't seen him probably in 3 years, but ran into him when I just went back home. If I needed something and my back was against the wall.
He there for you.
He would be there.
Yep.
Now, he might be there with guns drawn, but he would be there.
Yep.
The same cat that is out there, like I said, with the Craigslist wimp girls. If my back was against the wall, he would be there.
Yep.
So it's almost like...
But that's why I asked the question. That's why I posed the question, because those are the times, when he might need you. He might need you to tell him 150 times not to be cheating on his wife. But he may not get it until the 150th time. But had you cut him off at 30, be like, nah, do your thing, man. We still cool, holler at you, where I live or whatever. If you're in the area, holler at me. But, but that might be the time where he needs you to hang in there and say, yo, man, I need you to stop. You need to stop doing that over and over and over and repeatedly, because he may not get it until that 150th time.
But see, I think the difficult part for us being men is trying not to be on that verge of being woman-like and nagging.
Yeah. Mm.
You know what I mean? And I know this call, women will probably hit us and be like, hey, this guy. Oh, it's him again.
You way past that, brother. Way past that.
That's the difficult part is you don't want to be nagging, especially if it's somebody that you are seeing on a consistent basis. If this is somebody that you are seeing, is your friend, like I said, I'm not trying to weigh out sins and say one's less than the other, one's greater than the other. But if it's not, that's pretty severe.
Yeah.
But if it's not like dealing drugs or murdering people or, a rapist or something like, this is you cheating on your wife, but you're still there for your, you're still doing things for your family, you're still providing for your family, you're still handling your business as a so-called husband in theory. You don't want to be the person that's just nagging. So every time we get together, so you cheating on your wife, but I see you at church on Sunday, and I'm going to say it to you then. We have a bowling night, I'm going to say it to you then. We have a poker night, I'm going to say it to you then. We do something the following weekend at the barbecue, and you're telling me a story, I say it to you again. That's nagging.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that could be detrimental to the friendship, too.
Yeah, that's over the top. It's like after I've had a good conversation with it, and because we are friends, and obviously we've been friends a long time, and you value where I'm coming from to keep me as your friend, and I value where I'm coming from, value where you're coming from to keep you as my friend, I should be able to say it to you one or two times, and then, my friend, it's on you, buddy.
Mm-hmm. We're grown men. We're grown men.
Good word. Hey, look, look. Good word. Hey, honestly, I didn't want to say this on the phone. I did not want to tell you what I felt like doing when I saw him. Because I wanted to pull out of the car and get out and be like, yo, how's your wife? Because I felt, and I said, yo, that's you can't go there. Just say hello and keep moving. You know what I mean? Because I know his wife. And to me, it was personal. I'm like, man, how much longer are you going to live this wife and put the, I mean, live this life and put this woman through this? Even if she don't know, but she got to know, because this dude take trips, all kind of stuff. I'm like, she got to know.
Yeah, the trips will kill you.
God. I think that plays, it makes it a whole different dynamic that you know his wife.
Yeah.
Versus, you know, it's just your boy, y'all grew up together, y'all moved, you know, one's on the West Coast, one's on the East Coast, he found some chick, and he's doing this, versus some young lady that both of y'all know, grew up with, went to college with, you know, whatever the case may be, and you know his wife. I mean,
I know
y'all are cool
personally.
Like that. And I think that plays a, that makes it a different, whole different dynamic. And I don't know what I would do in that situation. I've never been faced with that personally, but I don't know what I would do in that situation.
Mm.
That's a tight spot.
Yep, and it's real talk. So let me flip it. What if you know the wife, but you don't like her? She's a straight B.I. and you don't like her.
Oh, man.
Do you still pull your boy to the side?
One time. That's it.
So he get one time to
the side. He said, it'll be this way. Hey, you know this is wrong. All right.
All right, let's move. Your frame.
Wow.
Oh, man. That's. Your silence can almost be, you could not say anything, and it almost be like, yeah, it's cool what you're doing. You know, whether you
right.
like her or not.
You're right. And you know what? You're right.
Yeah, because your boy would be the first one to come back to you, man. Why you ain't saying nothing to me?
That's right. That's
you're
right.
Like, what? What?
Yeah. Yeah.
You're right. He said, man, you saw me, I'm sinking, and you ain't throw me a rope.
Man, you should have stopped me, man. What?
Yeah, but you're a grown man. You
I
know better.
Twice.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'd be the first ones. Well, you should have said it more times. Come on, cuz.
Yeah, no.
You
did it because
it
you
back
wanted
on you.
To do it.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you know, most. I mean, they have that single moment, man. They did because they want to do it. And you know, he doesn't live in Virginia, but creeping way out where ain't nobody gonna see you.
Yep.
That's mistake number one. I saw you.
Mm.
My wife.
That's how you do it too. That's
flip,
what.
Flip this know. Around.
Yep. You think you can go somewhere else? Ain't nobody gonna know you. But bam, that's when you run into the most people.
Yep.
Here's the detrimental part. My wife sees you.
Yep. That's a problem.
How can I ever bring my wife around you and your wife ever?
Yeah.
Ever
that's a problem.
Again.
And then how you gonna go out with them when she knows?
Yeah,
ever. That never happens again.
Yep.
You put me in a bad spot, whether you intended to or not.
Yep. Because then your wife will be like, well, if you can hold a secret about him, what secrets are you holding from me about you?
There you go. And then she'll be like, aren't you going to tell his wife? When are you going to tell his wife? If you don't tell, I'm going to tell. Then you got the whole other Pandora's box.
Like, you just got me in trouble with your shenanigans.
How about that?
Shenanigans.
Shenanigans.
Oh,
unbelievable.
Man.
But it's a bad spot. It is a bad spot. And now I'm sitting here, and now you got to explain stuff. Wait a minute, I'm not the one that was caught cheating. Why I got to explain anything? That's that man.
Yeah.
That's boy.
Y'all run together.
yeah, but luckily, you know. And
the
see,
type of company you keep?
Yeah.
Y'all got the same values?
Uh-huh.
That's
you
how you used to get
out
down?
With?
Be like, come on, cuz, that wasn't me.
Yeah.
Well, that brings up a good point. And this might be a monkey wrench at 10:55, but do you have to cut your single friends off when you're married?
At a point, you do. You absolutely do.
Yeah.
You absolutely do.
Especially
in fact,
if your wife know how your single friend rolls?
And especially if he rolls like that. But I mean, absolutely you do. And I know I find it difficult to spend time with married folks. you know, my two kids and my job and, you know, the things that and my wife's job and all the things that we have to do. But I think that to a certain extent, you have to cut off a lot of folks, and the single brothers go first. It's like, man, you know what? You ain't got a wife and kids, you can't come over for the barbecue because, you know, we're going to be doing the wife and kids type stuff. I mean, yeah. It's just not, you know, it's almost like a sixth toe or something, you know, at a point.
Yeah.
It's like, you need to get married, homie, so we can hang again.
Yeah, right, because I've got nothing to do with a single friend. Nothing. There's nothing we can do other than play golf.
Play golf.
And after that, I'm out.
Yep, going home to the wife.
Yeah, no, you know, if I'm hungry, maybe we can go in and get some wings or something. But after that, I'm out.
Yeah.
That's
just probably the wild factor. But I got another question. I know it's almost 11 o'clock. My bad, Tony. But
make it happen.
You know, they're just coming to me, man. Let's say you and your wife are together. You're great. You're having a good time. You're not trying to live a single life. However, just like Rodney just said, sometimes I have a hard time living, you know, hanging with married folks. What if your married folks are swingers? Friends are swingers.
I think that's a whole other topic.
Is that you know, the marriage trying to still bring in that single life, but you're doing it in a structured way because you're doing it with another single company, so now both of you don't feel bad?
Yeah. That's a good
point.
That's
a different phone call.
Yeah,
that's a different phone call, brother.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point, though.
And for the record, if y'all swingers, you like single people to me. Same difference.
I don't know how some dude be okay with some other guy riding his woman.
Yeah,
right there.
Yeah, some dudes are cool with that, which, I mean, I don't understand. I'm like y'all, but trust me, there's some dudes that get off on that.
Okay, somebody is doing this with my wife, but I'm also getting their wife.
Yep.
So I don't want
no parts of none of that.
Yeah, yeah. It's like we're washing our hands of it. It's like an even swap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't want no parts of none of that. Yeah, no.
No.
That's crucial. Yeah, I agree with
no.
that.
That's crucial. That is definitely crucial.
That is not penis control.
Yeah, we don't need that. You know what I'm saying? If I need a jump off, let me go find another jump that we don't need that particular jump off.
Right.
No. No. No.
You know what I'm saying? Because guess what? You can't wash that off.
No, you sure
can't.
Marriage
counseling can't fix that. There's no coming back from that. I mean, I know people that are there at that point, and both of them, I know two couples that have done it, and they're both going through a divorce, who definitely was in that swinging mode. There's no coming back from that.
I mean,
first of all, we guys can't deal with somebody else pounding our woman.
But answer this question. We can't deal with nobody pounding our woman, but we can deal with that fantasy, that third woman in the room.
You can't come back from it.
You can't.
It's going to be the 500-pound elephant that's always in the room with you.
That's right. And the bottom line is you know, it's always the man married to multiple women. It's never the woman married to multiple men.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It ain't going to happen. We ain't going to stand for it. You know, we going to be Mormons and marry us five women. But ain't no dude going to be, you know, one of six men.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. Yeah.
If your wife says to you, for your birthday, I'm going to bring home another woman.
Don't do it. It's just like, I guess, tasting a drug you never had before, because then you're going to be shooting for that high every time.
It's the kiss of death, man.
Right.
That Pandora's box you don't want to open.
It's not going to work. Or
yeah.
It may open up a door for your wife that you didn't even expect you
were
going to
open. For sure.
It ain't even all that. It ain't even all that.
Yeah.
Don't do it. Just leave it alone.
Yeah. I know brothers that have fallen for the banana in the tailpipe.
Okay.
They're like, oh, man, great. I Look, I got a great wife. Oh, my goodness. My wife is off the chain. Guess what she did?
Okay.
Yeah. Where's she at now?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? You can't come back from that.
She's in the Dominican Republic.
Yeah, because guess what? Guess what happens then? Now you cheating, and it's legal. Well, honey, you know I'm with other women. What? You brought one home. So don't be surprised now that I'm out doing my thing.
Yep.
You got to out. But she's only going to take that out for so long. Because they want to control the situation.
Yep.
You know what I mean? That's like your parents telling you, if you want to get high, come home and get high.
Right.
If you want to experience, you know, with drugs, come home and experience it. Don't do it out in the street.
Right. And
they want to control it.
And they
want to talk
people
you out of
do that stuff too. Yeah. Like, yep, I don't want him out there drinking, so we got a keg at our house. What in the world? He is 15.
Oh man.
Wow. Well, yes.
That was the white kids, but whatever.
Okay, I mean, it's 11.
Open mic time.
I think that we have covered everything.
Yes, sir.
You
good
know.
Show. Good show.
Yeah, thanks. I think we covered everything on Married Living Single Lives, unless anybody's got anything else to add to it. I think we covered a lot of it.
Yeah, I got something for open mic.
Yeah, so give me 1 second and let me play Mr. DJ right quick.